everyone to Broken But Glorious!
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward!
To Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host for this evening, three-time pro wrestling author Alan Newman, and I'm joined by Nick Davey. How you doing today, Nick?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Looking forward to reviewing the show.
Yeah, we've got Money in the Bank to review, that's why we're here tonight, and I guess without any further ado, we'll get straight to it, really. The kickoff match, which is Nick's favourite time to watch wrestling, was the Usos, who are a Raw tag team, against the SmackDown tag team champions of Eric Rowan, I think just Rowan at this moment in time, and Daniel Bryan. Did you watch this one, Nick?
I did not. So, I don't remember the last time I actually watched the kickoff show. It would have probably been, the last time I actually stayed up for a show was Survivor Series, so being the kickoff show for that one, that would be the last time I stayed up for a show.
Yeah, I think the two major things that happened on the kickoff show were Zelina Vega and Sonya Deville seemed to despise each other. They were throwing barbs at each other during the panel side of things, which was quite funny to witness. Sonya Deville was saying, like, Zelina's small and stuff, and she doesn't wrestle in the women's division. And basically, Zelina Vega said that Sonya allowed Mandy to take a spot in the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, which is correct. So that's worth watching if you want to go and see something on the kickoff show. And then, in terms of this match, they had two breaks in it, which is wholly disrespectful to the four men in the ring wrestling. I think it's absolutely shocking that they do breaks during the kickoff show. You've got an hour to play with, you don't need to have breaks in the middle of the match. But the match itself is a good match. I mean, Daniel Bryan's in the match, so it's going to be, isn't it? Didn't know if it was for the titles beforehand. I kind of was live tweeting on our BBGW pod Twitter account. So when the Usos won, I was like, are they the SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions? And then it was like, no, they're not. And I had no idea. So now a Raw Tag Team is the number one contender to the SmackDown Tag Team titles, which makes me absolutely hate this wildcard rule. So, yeah, the kickoff show got me all pumped up to see the main show. And you can hopefully sense the sarcasm in my voice. And, yes, to the main show we go. Starting off with the Women's Money in the Bank. Now I've got to remember eight names that were in it. Dana Brooke, Bayley, Ember Moon, Nikki Cross, Naomi, Carmella, Mandy Rose, and Natalia, wasn't it? Yeah. So, you're the guest, Nick. Your thoughts on the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match?
Yeah, no, really good match. Really good opening to the show. There's some good spots. I like the Nikki Cross split with the ladder, which I thought was quite good. Obviously, it's hard to work out whether or not she's sort of crazy or not. When she came across quite normal on Raw the week before.
Just cut you off. She did like a selfie promo on the kickoff show saying that Alexa Bliss is the first person who's been friendly to her. She was like an outcast when she was a kid kind of thing, so that's what they're trying to do with her.
I see. Okay. Well, she was great in the match. Really enjoyed the bit with sort of Carmella and Mandy Rose. Didn't know whether that was a spot or if it was part of it. It was actually legit. So my first thought was legit when Mandy
swear on the podcast, we just did.
So I
thought the same, to be fair, Nick, because she was pushing her away, as in, don't touch me, I'm really hurt here. So, fantastic acting, sorry.
Not only really great, but the fact that the commentators were picking up on it as well.
Yeah.
What they used to do when there's time to story on and thing, I think that was just a casual comment of our filter, sorry for
Did you see the tweet afterwards, though, where she said she just learned to. Because she got back to NXT and learned how to be safe in the ring.
Well, Carl Bennett said that.
Yeah. So.
Maybe there is a bit of seriousness, but I've really enjoyed that part.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, what a finish of delight for Bayley. She was my prediction, so nice that that's come true.
Yeah.
The only one on the show that just come out, that did actually come true. I thought that was a really good idea. The show and the correct winner in my opinion, and yeah, really good. As I say, probably my favourite one of the match I'll go as far to say.
Yeah, moving on to the second match on the card, Rey Mysterio versus Samoa Joe. What did you make of this match, Nick?
Well, the match itself was really much of a match, and quite quickly, wasn't too long, but the ending I thought was a bit. Was brilliant. I thought, I don't agree with Ray winning, not a fan of Ray winning, I would have rather they kept the belt on Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But one has to just love Samoa Joe's reaction to the match. It's brilliant, the facial expression. I thought the blood was made more. I mean, I'm a personally big fan of blood, and I thought that was quite cool the way he was bleeding from the face as well.
Yeah.
The badass.
Yeah.
Just the reaction. I know there was a bit of a well, I mean, obviously it's obviously intentional storyline.
Yeah.
With the ref, but
oh, that was shocking. In all honesty, his shoulder was about a foot off the ground.
But I really got booking. And I'm actually intrigued to see where they go with the storyline. It's like when the storyline happened, I thought that when it first came on the feud, I was a bit like, meh. But I'm intrigued to see where it goes.
Yeah.
I was hoping, probably, this doesn't make me sound like a very good man, but I was hoping at the end of the match, Joe would find a way to put the clutch on Dominic. not that I want to see children get beaten up in a ring, but I think that would just add to the storyline fantastically.
Yeah.
But no, as I say, match, not really much to comment on the match.
No.
But for the storyline purposes, yeah. Well, they won me around in this, and looking forward to seeing where it goes. As I say, looking at my match now, I'm going to rematch in Saudi Arabia. But no, enjoy the storyline. Keep it up.
Next match is Shane O'Mac against The Miz in a steel cage. What did you make of this one, Nick?
Yeah, I enjoyed the match. As I say, I thought the match was quite good. I think it was quite sort of intense, quite sort of fast match expected to be. But the match was okay, pretty good. Ending, I'm not a fan of Shane McMahon winning. This is where they went for a big pain. This rumble, this would be the one where they can finish the feud. And the Miz wins. They've got to have the Miz come out on top of this feud at some point. So I was a bit disappointed the Miz didn't win. I would have liked to have the big finish of Miz Superlex and sort of Shane. Yeah, I mean, obviously on the top of the sale, or there's something drastic within. Even if it's in the sense of the way Strowman and Owens last year, when Strowman threw Owens from off the top of the cage through the house table, it's been something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough for me. But I feel like they've got to have another match. Maybe Saturday it's not a bad place to finish it, given that's where Shane won his best of the world trophy.
Yeah.
That could be quite a cool finish there, but I think this has got to come out as the on top as the big pile, but also the trophy happening match they had a last man standing match, they had a steel cage. What can they really do next? Or was it false count anyway? They had a shoot. It was false count anyway, was they not last man standing?
Yeah. And next match is the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. Aria Daivari versus Tony Nese. What did you make of this match, Nick?
Well, first of all, must be so pissed off that he's dropped the belt. Let's get even Neville as well. They've dropped the belt, and now they're not even on the main roster. There's like, Benny Murphy's had sort of match after match, which is excellent.
Yeah.
Whatever, he gets one match on the main card, he's sort of a good show. So, first of all, I suspect he's a bit pissed off.
Yeah.
But the actual match was great. I'll be honest, I'm not a big show if I watch it due to the time. It's a poison, there's not enough time.
Yeah.
To watch that much WWE programming. But I'm happy. I'm happy they put it on the main card because, as we mentioned before, I don't watch too much of the pre-shows. So it's nice to get a dose of cruiserweight action.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It really is great. Every time I see them, they're fantastic, the cruiserweight matches.
Mm-hmm.
And this was no exception. I love the Marley entrance. I'm happy it sort of gave the cruiserweights the entrances. The Marley coming out and in the car.
Yeah.
But no, overall, I think Tony's was always going to win. All of the things are just a bit about the crew. So, and I'd be interested to see if Tony Nese faces at the next pay-per-view. But overall, really great match. But as I say, just still a bit disappointed that the Buddy Murphy that he said sort of match after match, but he just get it on the main card.
Yeah. I think they just got to implement something, some kind of break or some kind of talking segment in a pay-per-view, honestly, to allow that to happen. Because you can still hear someone talking, can't you?
That's not that show. You can even go back to the kick-off panel for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's understandable for the fans who need to, act in that way, but in order to leave the seats and stuff. But yeah, go back to the kick-off panel for 15-20 minutes. I mean, every big show you go to on the independents or with like Ring of Honor and stuff, when they came over here, you got like a 20-minute break, and people could use that break to do whatever and then come back refreshed, because you tend to burn out the crowd. There's 11 matches on this card. It's completely understandable that people need a breather. So unfortunately, they took the breather during this match because it was of a good standard. The only thing is, I don't know if they hate Daivari, and I don't know if they love Nese, because much like you, I've been a watcher of 205 Live in and out, mostly when Mustafa Ali, Hideo Itami, Cedric Alexander and Buddy Murphy was there. Well, I've got news for all four of them. I've moved. Itami's left, and Ali's on SmackDown, Cedric Alexander's on Raw, and Buddy Murphy's on SmackDown as well, so it'd be really interesting. The one that I came across tweet wise was Oney Lorcan said, "Give me Tony Nese." That'd be a match I'd be interested in, because I think he's fantastic. So is Nese, and that could be one to sink your teeth into. Really,
I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, well, I only knew because he interrupted Ali off camera. So this superstar shakeup's going well for him. Right, so the next match is for the Raw Women's Championship. It's Becky Lynch against the sassy Southern Belle Lacey Evans. What did you make of this match, Nick?
Whether obviously expectations are a bit high, I personally enjoyed it, but but I was impressed by Lacey Evans. I know there was a few obviously on the sheet on Twitter and forums and what have you, of people sort of not thinking she's very good in the ring. I thought she was brilliant. I thought it was a very good match.
Well, the thing that surprised me was Corey Graves said that there's not much tape on Lacey Evans, and I was left thinking, well, you don't watch NXT anymore, do you? Because she's had some matches in NXT. She's not just on the back of nowhere.
Well, that's the thing.
I know Becky's really, really busy being Becky Two Belts, but I'm sure she can watch some NXT.
It was pretty a very good match. And it's well, so it's not a prediction I've got right to the record.
Hey.
And I Yeah, it's not making Evans no harm whatsoever. Like the fact that she's lost, right? Just and there's another cock up with the refs, whether that, but this is also this is obviously where someone's got active, they put out obviously a bit of a meeting like they've got count one, two, three.
This one, if the one on Samoa Joe was awful, this one's in a different stratosphere. No pun intended.
It's like part of the story. I'm just wondering if it was that bad. I was like, that's part of the story. I'm going to break.
I don't know if they're trying to give her a cop out ending because they didn't want her to lose cleanly in the first pay per view match.
Yeah, that's a good shout. It was the correct end, and I'm happy that they kept the raw one of Becky because I think Becky she needs to be a raw person. I mean, she's the hottest, she's the biggest name in the women's wrestling at the moment.
And then we had Charlotte Flair against Becky Lynch for the SmackDown Women's Championship straight afterwards because Charlotte wanted the match there and then. What did you make of this, and then what did you make of the match that came along with it?
Well, first and foremost, the logical, just a logical shot. If you're vested at the start, I don't know, obviously, it's not Charlotte to decide who goes on, but you just would come out on one way either to quickly start the match or to even attack Becky. It's just logical booking, so happy that she came out a little more smug, which was pretty good. A good heel for industry to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the match was always going to be good, wasn't it? Especially versus Charlotte. It was obviously going to be a good match.
Yeah.
And that it was. Big man in touch with Lacey Evans coming out. Again, does her no harm whatsoever. Keeps that feud really going. So they could probably have another match for the Raw spell. I was about to say in San Diego, but we won't go there. So they'll probably wrestle at Stomping Grounds, I want to say, the next pay per view. Which is around my birthday, so I'm in mid-June. So, like that. And then, I thought that was good then. With Becky quickly going for the roll-up, it was one of those ones I was like, oh my god, she's going to win both, and then no, and then the big boot. So, all fantastic ending to a good match. And I predicted that as well. Charlotte should win. As I say, you'd like to think maybe that concludes their feud. I'd like to think Becky now can just solely focus on Lacey Evans and then a bit of a feud.
Mm-hmm.
Or can take their feud to the next level. And then it happened. Do you want to explain about it, or should I? Or?
What was your thoughts on this? You've seen the 2-on-1 beatdown. What was you thinking, and then what did you think of the outcome, Nick?
This is where we have a love hate relationship with WWE and stuff like this. This is why I love the company and why I do love enjoying their product still, regardless of how dire it's been for the last month. But when they put out moments like this, it's brilliant. I wasn't expecting it. Well, apart from the beatdowns occurred, you're thinking, oh, here we go. And then she came out to the aid of Becky. Then I was thinking, oh, hang on, we're going to have a heel turn right here. Or we're not. Everyone's cashing in. Then, that she quickly cashed in Charlotte holding the belt. It's brilliant. Before the match, Charlotte looking smug. To then Becky, obviously close to winning. Then Charlotte winning, looking even more smug. And then to leave the crowd going ballistic with the crowd who were pretty average most of the night. Wherever it was, in Connecticut.
You're not going to be allowed to travel over there anytime soon, Nick.
Was it Connecticut? No, I don't think I'm allowed there anymore. It wasn't Connecticut, was it?
Yeah, it was. It was Hartford.
It was Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. But no, this was fantastic. And they really helped this so much. And it was just a brilliant moment.
So next we had one of those times, and they did do something right. Roman Reigns defeating Elias in a match that lasted as long as... Well, we suspected it would. We didn't want Elias to be squashed. I'm guessing both of us, Nick, and that's kind of exactly what happened.
Don't hate me on this. I don't have a problem with this. To us, I thought backstage. I thought, let's face it, these two can obviously have a rematch on Raw or SmackDown. It people are dying to see a Roman Reigns versus Elias 10-15 minute match. You'll get it on a Raw SmackDown potentially over the next month or so. For the case of the storylines, I think they're clearly going down the road, Reigns versus Shane storyline for potentially the next pay per view or view. As I say, I think backstage Roman walking, Elias from behind, brilliant, smashes from behind, comes out, performs, leaves, stays on his job. Reigns comes out from behind, beats him up, and then spears him. I've really got no problems with it. I think it was, if they'd done this for another match, last 9 seconds would be too impressive. This wasn't the match I was really looking forward to. I think the fact that it was a 10 minute match and then Reigns just goes and wins clean, great, that's probably what we were expecting. I think just do it in 9 seconds, have the bit of the backstage bit just to make the world a bit more heated. I've really got no problems with it.
Yeah.
And as I say, if people really are dying out to see a Roman Reigns Elias match, it'll probably happen on Raw SmackDown with the next month. About a 10-15 minute match, I imagine.
Next thing that was going to happen is the Lucha House Party came out for match number 12, and they were interrupted by the Freak, Lars Sullivan, and then he basically destroyed them. Any thoughts on this, Nick?
Yeah, it was 5 minutes, I guess.
Yeah.
Right, AJ Styles.
Has it been this long, man?
Then I think with Lars, I don't mind the way they're doing against Lars. So you've got to make some of it monstrous when they first come on. So I had no fancy to Lars at all. When they came out, I was wondering, I was like, hang on, so they haven't had a random 6-man tag match. Brian's not even made the pay per view. But then, when last year I was like, okay. We mentioned it earlier as well about people wanting to consume a drink or a hot dog or what have you, then that would have also been their perfect time to stock up. And that's probably about, I think WWE are trying to work it out. People need to get their beers in.
Yeah. It's
probably a good portion of where the last one would have been consumed after the cruise, or was worth getting up. So, yeah, good time for the live audience, I guess.
Is Kofi Kingston against Kevin Owens. What did you make of this match, Nick?
Really good match. There was parts in the match where I was like, oh, is KO about to... Are they really going to get the belt to KO? But no, then we actually, they couldn't take the belt off Kofi, but no, overall, I think this match was always going to deliver. I just think with this, it was a good match. Nothing wrong with it at all, but I was wondering where it's going to go from here, so that's just why I'm quiet about it.
Do you think the Kofi mania is dying down?
The thing is, we've seen this so many times with wrestlers, they're so hot. That's why I think it was so crucial with WWE pulling the trigger when they did and gave the belt, because it's never, let's face it, no one's not going to stay hot forever.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen, does it? I mean, unless you're unless you're above and beyond like a major star, it's gonna happen eventually. You may just go through a run, even if it goes through just a quiet patch. So I think you just have to have a quiet patch for these things to happen. It always gonna take as a new rivalry. Maybe the KO rivalry's been a bit more because they saw it kind of before Mania and actually starting up again.
Yeah.
You could even argue maybe it was a bit too predictable.
I think they should have kept him as the Big O in the New Day and then pulled the trigger on this around SummerSlam, which is kind of what people said online as well. They're pulling the trigger on things a lot sooner than they need to be, in all honesty.
No, that's a very good point, and that probably helps solve the rivalry a little bit better.
Exactly.
They built up his trust a bit more, and why he even done it, sort of, if you want to go really extreme. So I've not come across a very good person tonight, but even if I did it like a pass where, like, I don't know, like if Kofi does like a party in the ring or signs a bit of birthday or something, like a fan, a bit like almost a bit like the friendship of
the Festival of the Friendship.
That was one of the best segments ever on Raw in the last sort of few years.
Or when CM Punk sung Happy Birthday to Rey Mysterio's.
That was already a big one. I'm talking about this big party, everyone's invited, or even just a championship celebration.
Yeah.
I just had, I mean, to beat the crap out of not just Kofi or Woods, but I'm just taking Cap Biggie's on it, Biggie's on it. Yeah, you got to think I was going to destroy them all. But then, yeah, just even give a pop up panel of a family member of Kofi or whatever, just to really just take the robbery that could have done for them.
Yeah.
They might still do. They could even still do that just to get them on a little personal, something like that could happen. But whether they'll finish the run now, I don't know. Because there's so much, the good thing about SmackDown is there's a lot of talent, a lot of fantastic matches coming up with some very good talent on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And I love KO as well. He's always been one of my favourite wrestlers and still always will be. Mm-hmm. I've got a feeling that KO, he'll be one of mine, almost like the Randy Orton to me, because Randy Orton's one I can never get bored of, I still love him. Taylor could potentially go down that route as well, just never getting bored and always being hot, you know, at every angle.
Yeah, it's the phenomenal AJ Styles against Monday Night Rollins, Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship. What did you make of this match, Nick?
Yeah, it was probably my second favourite of the match, the second match tonight, which says all about how
pretty
good the pay-per-view was. No, I really, really enjoyed it. Great back and forth. It's refreshing to watch matches. I don't see it too many times these days where it's literally back and forth, where someone gets back there, like, what, pretty much a 2 minute period where someone's in control of the match. Whether that's because it's face on face, which probably helps, rather than sort of face versus heel, where sadly the heels likely so do have a bit more control of the match, which was really just refreshing to watch. It was a really great match. Loads of great spots, really good back and forth.
Why is it your second match tonight? What was the first?
We haven't discussed that yet.
Yeah, discussed that, okay.
That's just because I'm a big Arnold Spank line.
But just cut you off for a second, Nick. You've got these two, you know, WWE and Universal Championships matches. Sorry. Why is neither of them a main event in the pay-per-view?
Okay, I don't disagree with those, you know. The title of the name is Money in the Bank. They're trying to obviously sell the Money in the Bank concept. It's a bit like, I suppose you could say, the Royal Rumble. Why the Royal Rumble's main event, and you could then argue, well, should the WWE title be main event there? You could even do the same, although it was like I said, it's Elimination Chamber, and I don't know, there's number one contender for WrestleMania on the line. You could even have that as main event, and someone even if had it sell.
Would you have felt that way if CM Punk and John Cena didn't main event Money in the Bank 2011?
I think there was a lot more right in the match, given that a lot of the WWE program was built around that.
Yeah.
And not to mention, obviously, we'll move on to it with the shock factor what happened in the main event.
See, the thing is for me, though, if you put one of the championship matches last, then you've got that intrigue factor of will they cash in? And if you look back,
just get the.
Go on.
Yeah, it's a great debate to make. You could point out from the start, right? I could be completely wrong. I could be in the complete minority. I just personally have a problem. I just think it's the same, like, say, with also like Elimination Chamber or even Royal Rumble or what have you. I just feel that it's the Money in the Bank name rather than who's in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that that's just simply for the briefcase itself. I think that's why it made events just for the sole purpose. It's the Money in the Bank match, and it's once in a year. They get it once or twice in a year, if that makes sense, because there's the anniversary. I think that's personally why they've done it. But again, I could be in the minority. I know people who big fans of when, hey, if it's the WWE title or the Universal title, it should be the main event. I completely agree. But I still, if it is a big one-off concept of a match like this, it's more for the match rather than the participants.
To book in the show opener and main event as Money in the Bank to show that it's the most important aspect of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so what did you make of AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins?
Yeah, as I say, fantastic match, as I've already mentioned. Back and forth, and say my second match tonight, and the correct win, I think, whilst I like the handshake as well, it was a bit of disrespect when one for two faces. It's two, we talk about pulling the trigger. It'd been so disappointing if they pulled the trigger on, say, AJ, or someone like AJ just punched him or what have you too soon. If they're going to go another one, I don't care, but I just think it's too soon for that.
Did it take you a while to get into the match, Nick?
I think I just had the buzz with Steph Rollins, AJ Styles. It could have taken off for my mind, but I was so excited for it that I probably just got, since the bell rang, I was probably invested there.
Yeah, no, I thought it was building up, as in, you know, we're going to do one-upsmanship for like 10 minutes, then like counters and reversals and things, and the best part of the match was the reversal of the stomp, they call it now, into the Styles Clash, which is an absolutely awesome imagery. It's been shared on Twitter and stuff. That was the absolute best part of the match for me. Did you see that and think, wow?
Yeah, I have put my better part of the match as well.
Yeah, and I thought it was really good, but it's I think our expectations of the Dream matches are so high that they don't live up to it.
Well, yeah, because Michael Cole went. I don't know if you heard it, Michael Cole at the end sort of said, I don't remember what he said now, but it was something on the lines of, it was sort of minus about the, I think he sort of said, that match did deliver, basically, hinted at, AJ Nakamura didn't deliver, AJ Owens didn't really deliver, Seth Ambrose didn't deliver, so I think it was almost like said that this match has delivered, and in my opinion, it did.
Yeah,
they can even get better. They probably will have better matches if they are. If the feud is going to continue.
Yeah, I think if you just look at the situation now, it's just if the feud does continue, then this is like the first chance they had. I mean, bell for bell, it was 20 minutes long. So you know, if you added another 10 onto that, maybe. I mean, pay-per-view main events back in the day and stuff were 30, 40 minutes long, weren't they? So, with more time, with more opportunity to wrestle each other on the house shows and stuff, they could really, work a great match in the end. But I do feel concerned that when we see a Dream match in WWE, it kind of doesn't live up to expectations. I think the match they had on the independent scene was as good, if not better. To be honest, if you can track that down, it's a fantastic match. Yeah, so I thought this is a really good match. I questioned the placement, which we spoke about. I think it does main event the show, because if you look at the two Money in the Banks and you look at Kevin Owens versus Kofi Kingston, the match that's been built up with contract signings and a different, as a tag team and being, AJ walking away from Rollins, the biggest intrigue going into Money in the Bank was would AJ Styles turn on Rollins. So you have that as the main event. You keep the men's and the women's Money in the Bank just before that, and then you could still have the same clean ending, still have the handshake. You could have somebody maybe try and cash in, and then it's up to AJ, is he going to stop Rollins from losing, maybe? And that would add a lot of intrigue into the feud if he was going to continue it. But that's not the way it went. They bookended the show with a women's and a men's Money in the Bank, which is what we're going to talk about next. So, yeah, the last match on the show. We have to say at this point that Sami Zayn got taken out backstage. Braun Strowman was looking for Sami Zayn. He got removed from the building. And Sami Zayn. And Sami Zayn was taken to a local medical facility. And just quickly, Mick Foley introducing a new WWE title on Raw. And then that's been and gone, so I'm not sure what the thoughts are on that.
I knew there was going to be a belt, actually. I don't know what the belt is.
I thought it was going to be a women's secondary title, to be honest. But
I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't spoil it for you.
I just thought I did see the pretty little silver in the back, but well, I imagine it was something hard. My personal guess would be something hardcore related. That's just pretty. Well, that's too obvious because it's been cold. It could maybe be a.
The title's I'll give you that.
I always wanted to bring a mixed tag belt in, but then I think with the disasters of the women's tag team, I don't think they'll be that.
An Intergender title would really change, be a game changer in WWE, but they're never going to do it. Right, so without spoiling things for you, we're going to have to talk about the men's Money in the Bank. So, okay, Baron Corbin, Finn Balor, Ricochet. I could forget him. Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, Ali, and Andrade. And what's your thoughts on this match?
It was my match tonight because I just love matches. Love that match. It's my favorite concept, I think. But I thought it was great. I mean, everyone did their part as well. All breaking it down. Randy Orton, Randy Orton was awesome. I love how Bruce has been a right star as well. I love these moves he's kept on the announce table, all of them.
The back suplexes.
Yeah, just trying to do that, but that was great. It sort of reminded me a bit of a bit of like a PlayStation game, you know, just playing this on a site, we'll just keep on keeping up with it.
Yeah.
So it reminded me a lot of that, which was quite funny. Ricochet was always going to be brilliant, his high five moves were great.
Yeah.
Andrade,
and we forgot about him, Nick. That's terrible.
Sorry, Ricochet. Hopefully he edits it out. Ricochet, the Andrade, his spots are probably the best in the match.
The powerbomb on Finn Balor, I mean, how's he going to be feeling on Monday? This is recorded on Wednesday, hopefully he's got over it.
I think if anyone talks about sacrificing themselves to the company, paying their dues and what have you,
this is the same guy that finished the Universal title match at SummerSlam 2016 with a dislocated shoulder. Situation, Nick, he's there, he's got his hands on the briefcase, like, there is commotion. Why doesn't he unhook the briefcase and then deal with the commotion afterwards? Situation as well, if you look at the injuries that he's gone through and Kofi taking his position and etc. etc., this is his chance. And then, if you, I don't know if you've seen the Chronicle on Ali before on the Saturday night, that this was all built up. And then, even in the Chronicle, he said, oh, well, I might be able to get, you know, I might be able to get my redemption unless somebody takes it away from me. So, basically preluded the fact that it could happen. But yeah, I completely agree. You had Jim Ross on the commentary with Jeff Hardy versus Undertaker, and he's saying, "Go on, kid, it's the greatest opportunity of your life." And he's basically shouting on Jeff Hardy, and yeah, you didn't really sense that when Ali was climbing the ladder.
Exactly. Well, just on that, but Ali had a great match for his spots. But then it happened. I loved it. I really did.
Oh, well, God.
I'm joking. I absolutely loved it. Just the sheer fact that we talk about being a heel. He's made Twitter go into meltdown after judging by back and forth starting with Twitter went up, but then I had to go back and just look at some nice tweets. Brilliant. My reaction wasn't shit. It was just laughter when I heard the music hit. And I would have loved it. I was watching it live just for that as well.
See, when Brock Lesnar came out of Hell in a Cell, that was something like, whoa, that's it. He doesn't turn up for shows. What's he doing here? But for him to turn up and then
what are you doing here,
for the seven guys to put themselves through that hell just for Brock Lesnar to just take the briefcase.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's hilarious. That's what makes his character. I mean, just the hero should have him smirking at rings, have him laughing. Shout out to my cat, I hope he's alright. He's had a pretty snappy game through a ladder at a cameraman.
next show will be the All Elite Wrestling Double or Nothing review. Anything you want to say, Nick, before we go?
Yeah, no, just, please tune in. We've got a couple of great shows coming up. The All Elite Wrestling Double Nothing review. Hopefully, it seems to be me that said everyone's up for it, but the super, 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 super showdown review in June, in 3 weeks' time, I want to say, in Jeddah. So we hope to have a review on that. And then, after that, I believe it'll be something around for you, and there might be a show before then. If everyone's lucky, if everyone behaves themselves by streaming and listening to our view, listening to the review on this, and also the Elite Wrestling review, we might give you a show.
Very good. And that'll do it for tonight. And once again, I'm Oliver Newman, the host of this evening on Broken Victoria's Wrestling Podcast. He's Nick Davey. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's twitter.com/BBGWPod. If you want to follow us on Facebook, it's BBGWPod. And if you want to get any of my wrestling books, they are available on fansperspective.bigcartel.com or your local Amazon and in store and online on Pro Wrestling Cartel. And that's good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night.